Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Hammy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 619 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week continues our coverage of the 43rd Humana Festival of New American Plays, hosted by Actors Theatre of Louisville. This week we're going to focus on the Apprentice Showcase, which was called We've Come to Believe by Kara Lee Corthron, Emily Feldman, and Matthew Paul Almos. Sorry if I butchered those names. And our guest this week is Rebbe Yura Foster, one of the apprentices. So we're going to get in on a conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the hosting donations accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Do you like what you hear? You got a thought about it? You want to express that thought? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter @inexplicableDS, @ inexplicable D S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So, let's get on with the interview.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
All right, so I'm joined by
Rebbe Yura Foster.
Okay, and you were part of
We've Come to Believe.
So that's the Apprentice Showcase, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right. So I saw that late last night.
Mm-hmm. So, 11 p.m.
I'm hardcore.
Oh yeah.
before getting into seeing the show, I'll show tell you a backstory. So I went to an 11 p.m. show several years ago, and there was an older gentleman from whatever newspaper he was representing, and he did the most amazing thing. He slept through it.
Oh, seriously?
But he would not only, you know, sleeping, hear a little snort, and then the laugh line would happen, and he'd go, and then go right back to sleep.
That's a character in itself.
Every time, bam, he'd laugh. It was amazing. So anyway, We've Come to Believe. Saw that last night.
Yes.
I can also say that I walked to the hotel last night going, what the hell did I just see?
It's a trip. It's definitely a trip. Yeah.
The connotation of the performance of material or anything like that. But I understand sort of the process of how this comes about for the apprentices.
Right.
You get the playwrights in, they get a prompt of some sort, and you guys interview and audition and get to know, and they get to know you, and they sort of. That sort of thing. So how is this process for you?
For me, I guess it was really cool. You mentioned auditioning for it, and we didn't necessarily do that. I think it was like we workshopped the piece, and then the director worked with the playwrights to choose which characters we were each gonna be and everything. It was ambiguous for a while, and we were just like choreographing things right before we were actually like assigned roles. For me, it was an outstanding process. It's really cool to be on stage with 19 other, like, amazing artists.
So, this is one of the, I won't say rare, but where the physical movement was so important to you.
Yeah, definitely.
So, is that typical of your process? Do you feel more connected to physical development of character into character, into lines, into all that kind of stuff? Is that
me specifically? Yes, I definitely think a lot about physicality. I do like movement a lot on stage. That's actually like what I want to focus on. But it was really cool to work with Will Davis, who like choreographs before he like blocks out scenes. It was really, really, really cool.
Cool.
So, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it totally does. So your process, what's your end process? What is your rehearsal process like?
For this piece specifically?
Yeah.
So we all started workshopping the piece. We were given like 9 short scripts of each of these scenes. Then we cut 3 of them before the actual performance. And we like workshopped it. Everybody was different characters. We would like turn off the lights and like do weird light things just to like see what things would look like. And then the playwrights and the director left for like a month or two. And then we came back into the rehearsal process and it was all more movement. And then we were assigned characters, and then it was a lot of exploring movement, honestly, for this, and exploring things like what it would look like on stage. So like lights and colors and like bodies rolling around on the ground and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So of all the characters that you personally perform, mm-hmm. do you have a favorite?
Okay, it's actually so much fun for me to be the character in the Four Pillars piece towards the end. We're like in this cavernous room and there's this leader telling us that there is no hope and that we all have to like listen to everything that he says. And I feel like the character that I'm playing is so different from any other character that I have ever portrayed before, because she's very like hesitant and like just wants to like get her words out and then like be there and like be given what she needs. But it's a lot of fun. And like physicality in that is very right. different from other characters that I usually play.
So this is kind of, for lack of a better term, this is your capstone for your year.
Yeah. We've all been joking about how this is like right before we graduate.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
You hope you enter prom. That's tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you think you've developed from where you began to where you are as an artist?
The beginning of this program, like 8 months ago. So I just came out of undergrad and then I immediately came here.
Which was where?
University of Portland, Oregon. There are a few of us who came directly out of undergrad, but a lot of other people have been like out in the real world for a while. So it was good to come into like another structured, like quote unquote educational setting, rather than go out into the real world and come back. For me personally, that was good. I think I've grown a lot just by observing like good acting,
right.
like everybody else in the program, all of the equity actors, going to workshops with everybody. I feel like I've grown a lot as an actor. Also, I view acting a lot more like a profession now than just like this thing that I'm studying in undergrad
right.
and it's all ambiguous and like, what even is good acting, you know?
Right. I had sort of flashbacks to the, I'm telling you, when you did the works well with vowels and not enough.
Oh,
vowels.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah.
I know, but those are real things that we're told in, like, acting school.
Right.
So it's cool to be, like, we can still be an actor and not be able to reach, like, a high E or something, you know? Like, yeah.
But I still have expressed so much, but still have our soul crushed by it.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
positive, not so positive reinforcement. So then,
right.
Where, and this is the dreaded question, what's next for you?
Ooh, okay. So I am trying to move to New York after this. Yeah. I've lived on in the Pacific Northwest all my life, but I feel like it's the move.
How did you hear about this program?
So Michael Legg, who ran the program last year, actually called me back at one of the American College Theater Festival, like Irene Ryan's audition things. And then he saw me there, and then he called me back for this program. And I don't know if I should say this, but I definitely memorized one of my monologues like half an hour before I did it for Michael Legg. I'm sorry, Michael Legg, if you ever hear this. So, yeah, and I was like, I don't know if I want to move to Louisville, Kentucky, but then I realized that the Humana Festival was here and, like, that this is the Actors Theater of Louisville and everything, so, yeah.
Cool. So, I assume you guys also have run crew duties and everything else.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. So, again, I know that all of them were wonderful. So, this question is not
all of the shows.
Yeah. Not your choice. Your answer.
Right. Okay.
Damnation to the other shows.
Mm-hmm.
First off,
yes.
What is the show that you're crewing?
I'm crewing How to Defend Yourself and Corpse Washer. So I'm working on all of the shows in the Bingham Theater.
Nice. Of all the shows, which one have you enjoyed the most? And not necessarily doing new crew work, but just first show in general.
Right. I want to say How to Defend Yourself. It feels very relevant to my generation right now, and So I'm up in the grid during the end of the show. I drop in, like, the disco mirror ball, and I only last week have I been able to, like, watch the end of the show and not cry. It's incredible. It's incredible watching, like, the actors grow and evolve with these characters, and, it does feel very relevant.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I guess we'll make this the last question. For the coming year's apprentice applicants, mm-hmm. What advice would you have for them? Preparing for and or going through the year?
I think this is something that I've learned while being here. Don't try to be something or someone that you're not, because people just want to see the genuine you. Mm-hmm. And like, you will get jobs and you will get cast based on who you are. And you will always present better on stage if you are being genuine to yourself rather than trying to be something that you're not. So that's what I've learned. So take that advice.
She visually throws the microphone. Awesome. So once more, give me your name and where you're from.
I am Rebby Uer Foster from Portland, Oregon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So that is it. I'd like to thank our apprentice guest this week. Not an apprentice guest, but our guest that is an apprentice. Rebby Uer Foster, we focused on this week, We've Come to Believe, by Kara Lee Carthron, Emily Feldman, and Matthew Paul Olmos. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Rebby, for sitting in with me today. And so next week, we're going to focus on The Thin Place by Lucas Naith. And joining me is Kelly McAndrew next week. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see you. Bye.
Are you a music lover? then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at Magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.